This piece was brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, cane5.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Opinion.
Harvest by Eric Himmelfarb. The farmer is a poet at his craft. Every act is a verse of quiet praise for the spirit that animates the days through light, through love, through every given breath. How beautiful is the seed in the palm, full of spark and potential sustenance. In partnership with the land he will dance, in burying the seed he will find calm. The color of the sky holds all the poems. In tilting forever toward the sunlight, he feeds the land as he is fed from it, and sees a garden everywhere he roams, sees day sprouting out of relentless night, poems floating, drifting, waiting to be written. I saw the ruins of a great civilization. The ruins lay not in palaces brought low, not in cities laid waste, not in castles burning, not in great infernal flames, nor in towering floods, not in the ravages of warfare, nor in the dryness of drought, but in the bare cupboards, the anxious kitchen tables, the hunger sharp like a knife. The ruins in absence and abundance entwined, the ruins in the profits made off plowshares, in the profits made off swords. In the corner of every field, the gleanings picked, the vagabonds empty-handed, hungry as they pass. The ruthless, callous judges, the false prophets of oppression, the rulers, the courtiers in the throne room, the masters pulling the strings, the wise men hiding behind curtains. The pious ones who on their holy days fall to the ground, clasp their hands to the sky, pray to have their cry heard, then turn around and force their workers to the ground. Ruins not in warfare, nor flood, nor drought, but in empty cupboards. Does hunger even shock you anymore? Does poverty even shock you anymore? Do need and want in the richest country in the history of the world, a country of sprawling abundance from coast to coast, do they even shock you anymore? Why do you not see that good food is a human right, just as clean water is a human right, and freedom from bondage is a human right? By nature of being born, by nature of receiving the light of the sun, we are all entitled to the fruitful bounty of the earth, not the manufactured poison of the corporation. Does hunger even shock you anymore? Does poverty even shock you anymore? The ruins in the con men of $1,000 plates who hide behind gates built by those they seek to lecture, moralize, criticize for living high and mighty off $1.40 per meal. The ruins in those who hear not the whispers of the hungry, but the chortles and cackles of those who lock the shackles, their faces forever concealed. The ruins in those who continue to funnel ever more riches their way, taking from those perpetually on the borderline between dull hunger and desperation, funneling them towards abundant, cheap junk that feeds no one but the conglomerates who care not for health, nor for humanity, nor for good food. Despite the pennies they toss your way to your cause of choice in your neighborhood of choice, do not be fooled by the thin veneer of benevolence, for it sits atop a sea of hypocrisy and workers with full-time hours who are still reliant on government benefits just to get by. Ask their leaders how they feel when left alone with their thoughts, their feet unsteady as they trample on the backs of those beneath them. Ask them how the furies pound at their door. The ruins in those who look only to tear down, who refuse to remember that they were once vagabonds, who refuse to remember that they were once outside the walls looking in at the fruit and the shade, that they once were sitting in Spartan surroundings with cold, empty plates, that the ones they seek to punish are those who built those very gates and built that very castle and picked that very fruit. In the blinding glare of arrogance and decadence and vanity, it can be hard to see the many rivers that their fellow man and woman must cross, the many hills that they must climb, their path lit by slivers of the moon. The ruins in those who accept this all as normal, who accept that our neighbors must wait in line for leftovers when their meager portion runs out, that their wages must be bare minimum. We choose to give people the bare minimum, yet sunlight illuminates the world without precondition, with pure, unthinking love. The ruins in those who accept that the cost of our prosperity and freedom and riches and the economic system that must be the endpoint of history, because none can be more perfect for the materialistic selfishness of man to flourish than this, that the cost of it all is for certain people on the margins to live with the endless aching wonder about where their next meal is coming from. The ruins in those who accept that the distance from the margins to the middle may continue to expand, that the cost of this all is for people to skip meals so that their kids can eat. To end each month at the soup kitchen and the food pantry where they may be turned away because so many of their neighbors sought out the same refuge as they did. Hunger and need on your street, in your city, in your country. That street is your street, that city is your city. That person who hungers there is you if you dare look closely enough. And you can never be free yourself if one person is in chains. Can never be free if your neighbor is shackled to hunger or want or poverty or rags. You can smile in your capricious, plentiful comfort and drink your wine in smug serenity, but one person crying is like a thunderclap shattering the silence. The fields of grain reach not the mouths of men and women and children, but livestock and trucks and processors. The gains reach not the farmers, but the corporations that rent them the land and sell them the seeds and prosecute them if they dare save any seeds from one year to the next. Ruins in the slow decay and corrosive indifference. And yet the fields do not lay fallow. The rains have in fact come. The tractors subdue the land. But the gates are high, the roads are long, the rivers are wide and many. The hand held to the ear can block the cry of your brother. The hand held in front of the face can block the sad, hungry eyes of your neighbor as it can block the sun and the tallest mountain. Yet we are like the cabbage, the kale, the broccoli, the collards. We are all from the same. All it takes to bring life back into balance is to take the hand away from the face, away from the ears and eyes, take the face away from the screen, and hear the voices calling out into the silence waiting to be heard. The farmer, he must take a stand. The poet, he must take a stand. The painter, he must take a stand. The sculptor, he must take a stand. The banker, he must take a stand. The politician, he must take a stand. The trapeze artist, he must take a stand. You and I must take a stand. Irony, sarcasm, detachment cannot be allowed to flourish. The wind can disperse them far and wide, from field to field, from town to town, from heart to heart. The hungry are many and the harvesters are few. And we stand on the shoulders of the prophets and the poets traversing the cosmos, of Ginsberg and Whitman conversing by the melons, of Demeter in shredded tatters on a park bench grieving for her daughter while the plants wither, of the man who boldly sang, "Them belly full, but we hungry." The shoulders of the mystics in their elevation and exaltation, the shoulders of the farmers in their contact with the spirit of the earth who bridged the gap between sunlight and soil and sustenance, the shoulders of those who distributed their bounty, the shoulders of the humble ones who heard the cries, the shoulders of the ones who took a stand with those who serve us our food, with those who went on strike, working two jobs full-time and still on SNAP, with those who stock the shelves of the market, with those who pick our tomatoes in the Florida heat under threat of pesticides penetrating their lungs, under threat of violence and forced servitude and deportation, with those who go from seekers to migrants to farmhands to fugitives, chased by the ones among us who see them as outlaws, with those who harvest our vegetables across the expanse of our fertile fields, who cross the vastness of the borderland deserts to reach us. In the dark of the night, they leave their wives and children in Puebla and they wander, with the dispossessed and the exploited and the downtrodden, with those who live out of reach of the orchard, out of reach of the garden, out of reach of the wellspring. If all you see is clover and ryegrass, then know that they stir up the fertility during days of darkness for future growth. Though the light was removed from this vessel to make room for life, though it can only contain a meager portion of what it once could, we now follow the lead of the sun and the trees and the wind to restore that light spark by spark and increase the capacity of this world to contain more light spark by spark. If we do not recognize ourselves, then that means we have smashed the mirror, and we simply need to pick up the pieces, and it means we have to let go, and we can all be the ones who harvest. The poet is a farmer in his field. His seeds are his words, harvested in their time, a time to sow, to uproot, and to find the inner harmony that shapes his yield. His hand in the land, he is of the land. His head to the sky, he is of the sky. And in the season of fullness will rise songs of glory that resound from end to end. In the corner of his field is a tree, which all who pass may eat from as they please. His land a sacred table seating those who hunger to be nourished, who seek, who yearn to grasp the meaning of the breeze. He spreads his light by tending to his rose.